becoming the me that we're called to be, that God wants us to be, that we again feel called to be. We've talked about how God wants us to have a life in which we flourish. And again, that flourishing begins in that inner spirit of understanding God's presence within us. We also talked about the idea of how it comes from our mind and whether or not we're there with our thoughts and so forth. And this morning, we continue with kind of a crazy idea that God wants us to flourish as a people. But part of that flourishing comes with the idea, of relationship. That again, God doesn't want us to be people who live alone. And doesn't want us to be people who try to be islands. And for many of us, that is what we do when we become stressed, when we become, or when we face challenges, we go within ourselves, we cut ourselves off. The whole idea of coming before people and praying over you is so threatening for whatever reasons. And yet God says, if you want to be who I intended you to be, live in relationship. So where does that begin? Well, again, this morning there's several scripture passages, and I wanted to begin again, Matthew 6, verse 6, again, where it says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Part of this journey of relationship begins with, where is your relationship with God, with Jesus Christ? How is it today, this morning, when you think about it? And I, again, read as part of this, researchers, they did a survey, all right? They went out and they asked people, what is your favorite room? What is your favorite room in the house? So the number one answer for favorite room in the house, again, national average, whatever, men, women, whatever, favorite room in the house, what is it? I heard kitchen. You believe that? Kitchen. All right? Kitchen is the number one answer, all right, that people love. Now, for women, I heard this answer too. Women answered family room. The idea of that gathering area, some dining room, you know. Men's answer? Come on, it's a little racy. Come on, guys, be honest. Bedroom, all right? Men said bedroom. Now, they went a little bit further, and I found this interesting. Young mothers, we've got a few up front. Favorite room in the house for young mothers? Bathroom. Because they can close the door, and they can get away from the rat race. And when we think about our lives on this earth, and when we think about, again, some of the challenges that we face, we need to understand that God wants us to have a sanctuary. And that in that, God wants to have an intimate relationship with each one of us. Where again, as it said here in Matthew 6, we have a place where we can go and we can close the door, and we can talk to God. We can again fill our spirit and share our spirit with the Spirit of God. Where we can clear our mind and share our thoughts and connect with God. Where we can close the door. Where we can close off all the yelling and noises of kids and life and work and everything and say, you and me, God. You and me. That's where this idea of relationship begins. And when we think about having relationships with other human beings, we really have to ask the first question, do we have a relationship with our Creator? Do we have a relationship with our Savior, with our Sustainer? So that as we go through life, we have a place where we can close out the world and know that there is someone who loves us unconditionally. Someone who knows us better than anyone, and we can talk every day, openly and honestly. You see, God wants that deep relationship. God wants that sanctuary experience for us and for Himself. A place where, number one, we can share our deepest concerns. You know, our men's class, we're going through kind of a movie series, and it's a little different approach to maybe Sunday school. But it's one in which we're looking at, a war movie, documentary. And one of the questions I first posed to the men was, you know, if you're in a foxhole, if you're going into battle, if you're going to be there, you talk with other men. You connect with other men. You want that person right next to you. It's all about that band of brothers, that connectedness. But what happens when you go home and you find out that your child is sick? That you're losing your job? That your wife is going to leave you? Whatever it might be. And instead of connecting with other brothers, we go off and we become an island. And how it kills us as men to do that. God says, I want a relationship with you. I want to create a sanctuary where you can turn to me with your deepest, darkest concerns, with your hopes and with your dreams, with your most intimate thoughts, good or bad, happy or sad. God wants us to, again, have that place to build the relationship. Because not only can we share those things, but we can experience the face of God. And if you've been here at all this morning, at least for me, I've experienced the face of God. Whether it be in the face of a little child getting baptized, whether it be in the face of all these children up front knowing that they are loved, whether it be in the face of a child like Mark DeYoung, when we have that intimate relationship, when we have that holy of holy place, when we can connect with God, God's face shines upon us. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be simple. But it's kind of like yesterday as the sunshine came rushing into our windows and we feel alive in a new way. That if we have that relationship, suddenly, again, we are not alone. We aren't in the basement, but we are connected with our Savior. And so this day, it begins with this idea that we need that connection. We need that sanctuary. We need that bathroom time to push out the craziness of life and connect with God. But again, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop there. Because again, as you read on in Scripture, you find out how important relationships truly are. Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 1. An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment. An unfriendly man, selfish, defies sound logic. Or maybe from, again, Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. Again, this whole idea of living in that relationship, of again connecting in a manner. You see, not only does God want to cry out and say, deepen your relationship with me, but enter into life-giving relationships with one another. Life-giving relationships with one another. When you look at your life, connect with people because it brings new life. Selfish people tend to be islands. Selfish people tend to be filled with their own thoughts, their own values, their own desires. Selfish people care about only one. And yet God says, enter into life-giving relationships. Relationships where you can connect with one another, where you know that you're not alone. Relationships where you can delight in one another, where again we can enjoy the, again, life together. Life-giving relationships where we can commit to one another. Much like we have done this morning, life-giving relationships that can bring joy and bring belongingness in a manner in which it brings life. Brings life and brings life abundantly. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Folks, as we live life together, it's that together that is so important. Life-giving relationships, connection, delight, commitment, joy, belongingness. It's a gift that God wants us to have, and yet we struggle to be intimate with God and to be intimate with one another. Now, you know, I have a certain theology when it comes to dogs and cats, all right? I actually received a little hate mail. Somebody sent me a picture of their cat, all right? Visitors, just so you know, dogs go to heaven, cats go somewhere else. But I read a story that speaks to relationships. And again, it was a story of a dog and a cat who lived together in a household for over 10 years. And one day, the cat died. And the owner reflected on the fact that the cat died, and he would have thought, oh man, the dog is going to be so happy. Because all that happened was the dog and the cat, they fought back and forth. The dog usually ended up on the worst end of it with claws in the nose, and the dog just always seemed to, if I could eat that cat, I would. But I better not. But what the owner observed was the cat died, and suddenly the dog stopped eating. And all of a sudden, the dog stopped really living life. And all of a sudden, after 6 weeks of not eating and vet's visits and everything, the vet looked and said, your dog is brokenhearted. And the dog died 8 weeks after the cat. You see, the relationship was gone. It might have been contentious at some point, but obviously there was a connection. Obviously there was delight. Obviously there was joy, belonging, commitment. The crazy dog and the crazy cat, life-giving relationship. That's what God wants for us, is to have those kind of relationships. The challenge is, in order to have those, we need to be human. You'd say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, guess what? We need to be human in our relationships, which means honest, which means open, which means embracing diversity, which means being able to understand that we're not all the same, but be honest. To be able to look at our children and say, we're not perfect. To be able to look at people with different traditions and say, I don't understand, but let's sit at the table together. We need to be people who listen before we speak. We need to be people who value understanding and value learning to live into other people's lives. We need to be human. We don't need to be textbooks. We don't need to be lawyers. We don't need to be Pharisees or Sadducees. We don't always have to have the answer. We just need to be there. To be able to look at Mark and Cindy earlier and to say, I wish I had an answer. But I don't. To be able to look at them and to honestly say, this sucks. If we want the honest relationship, if we want to enter in, we need to be human. And we struggle with that because most of us like to be right. Most of us like to put on that wall, that filter, and keep people here. Well, folks, God made us in a manner in which we need to keep people here. That Holy of Holies, the life-giving relationships, human, honest relationships, and a strange one, and yet a meaningful one. That as we live life and as we enter into relationships, find at least one person in your life who's difficult. Find that one person in your life who's kind of a pain in your behind. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is, find that person who's going to hold you accountable. Find that person who's going to push you just a little bit further. So that when we think we've got that Holy of Holies, when we think we've got those life-giving relationships, when we think we're really being human, you've got someone in your life that says, hey, Paul, what were you thinking? Hey, Paul, couldn't you just take it to the next level? Hey, Paul, and you go, oh, man, I just wish you did. But those are the people that help us to grow in relationships. Those are the people that help us grow in the values of our life. Those are the people who hold us on a track to being the people that God intends us to be. Now we're back to the beginning. It's those prophetic voices in our life who hold us accountable to being human, to not being an island, to finding the Holy of Holies sanctuary and connecting with God. It's those people where sometimes you see them coming at you down the hall, down the road, down the hallway at home, and you go, oh man, I hope they don't say anything to me. But those are the people we need in our life. The illustration that one of the authors gave, and I like it, they say, they call it the J curve. The J curve. I turned it into the joy curve, being J, all right? And the illustration is this. You're living life here, all right? If you imagine a graph, you're living life here. You have that difficult person come to you and say, come on, Paul, you really need to make an effort. You really need to change the way you're thinking here. And for a while, things get really difficult. But after the change is made, things take off and soar. The illustration they gave was, it's like someone who's a baseball player. and they've been swinging the bat for years, and they're struggling a little bit, and the batting coach says, make this change. And for a while, they go from that, 285 batter to 250. Because they've made the change, but then all of a sudden, 260, 270, 280 again, 290, 300, 320, the J curve. We need people who will help us get into the way of thinking that J curves are great. Challenge us, hold us accountable, help us to grow, because eventually we take off. So today is a day where we got to think about, how are the relationships in our life? How's our relationship with God? How's our relationship with our fellow human beings, our family, our friends? Do we have life-giving relationships? Are we willing to be human? Are we willing to have that difficult person in order to help us grow? I think today's been a day where if I said nothing, maybe some of you would have liked that. You would have seen how important relationships truly are. Becoming the person God wants us to be, filled with honest and open relationships. Amen.